Cap and J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
That's why I say amen.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why.
Shot or no shot is brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. Good morning, Daniel.
Happy Victory Monday, gentlemen.
Pretty awesome.
What's up, Danny?
What up, Hoodie? How you feel, man?
I feel good. Chilling. After a Bears victory, absolutely. Can I tell you something? So Mark Sanchez and Kevin Kugler did the game yesterday. And Mark Sanchez, you know what? I like that he was not afraid to go after anybody. And also, you know how it is, Cap. You know, when they hire color analysts, they always kind of go to the quarterback first because the quarterback's the smartest guy on the field, apparently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So they get Mark Sanchez in there, and that guy was diagramming stuff defensively. He was talking about the other side of the football, which you don't get very often. So I thought that was very well done. And here's something else, too. I'll just admit this in front of you and Danny and Jeff. I forgot that Sanchez played for the Bears. When they flashed him in a Bears uniform, I go, oh, God. That's he right. played for the blue and orange. I forgot. I don't even remember what year that was.
So when he came in, Mitch was a rookie.
Yeah?
And I had him on. And he said, Danny was with me. He said that Mitch came in and was looking at houses. He had signed his contract. I'm going to buy a house somewhere not far from the facility. And said, no, you're not. What do you mean, no, I'm not? The first year, you're going to rent a one-bedroom apartment, not two. Because if you have an extra bedroom, your buddies from college are going to go, hey, man, can I crash at your... No. I have stuff I have to accomplish. Mm-hmm. I got to be working. And he said, that's exactly what he did. Now, it didn't end up working out, but it was just the leadership. That's why they had brought him in, not because he was a good player.
I had forgotten that. Yeah. I saw him there, and he was talking about, oh, Chicago's so good to me, and you know, we had dinner. I'm like, I don't know if security even remembers that.
Exactly. Who is that guy? Danny.
I think it's funny that somebody at Fox grabbed Mark Sanchez and was like, hey, dude, you know how Tony Romo kind of predicts what play is going to happen? You need to start doing that. So he had like four or five predictions. I think he went 1 for 5. Like, he's not very good at the Tony Romo predicting what plays on tap. All right, boys, let's get to shot or no shot on this Victory Monday. Gentlemen, shot or no shot, Andy Dalton has taken his final snap as a Chicago Bear.
That's a no shot.
Wow.
That's a no shot. I expect him at some point. Now, again, this is depending on the injury. If he's healthy, I believe that he'll be pressed right back into service.
So I believe it's a shot.
Promises.
I believe it's a shot.
Yep.
Simply because if he indeed has a bone bruise, as we just read the tweet from that Dr. David Chow, mm-hmm. if that's accurate, Justin Fields will be the starter going forward. He will, unless he got hurt, he will not give the gig back. There'll be no point in taking the job away from him. So I will say it's a shot. Andy Dalton will never again take a snap as the Bear quarterback.
Damn. Can I say it's a little irresponsible that David Chow in his tweets, and when we read it, and when I say we, I mean you, it's also a little bit irresponsible. I mean, the guy saw the same stuff on TV that we did,
Coach
and now he's predicting ACL injuries. I mean, let's back off on the David Chow. Google him, read his Wikipedia, maybe not the greatest reputation in the game of football.
Oh.
I'm just saying, let's not push that like it's fact.
Well, no one is.
No, I know, but every time we reference it, for people just tuning in, it sounds as if we're adding credibility to it.
Yeah, I disagree. He looks at the tape and says you could just have a bone bruise, but that's still a several-week injury. But, and I think that's fact.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Okay. Gentlemen, moving on. The offense still struggled no matter which quarterback was under center. The offense only scored 13 total points yesterday.
You don't get your advice from Twitter doctors, Danny?
No, I mean, plus I Google this guy and I read his history and like...
Oh, I'm very familiar.
Yeah.
You follow him.
I mean, Meller agrees with me, I think.
I mean, Andy Dalton could have to have his leg amputated.
Some doctor somewhere tweeted that out.
Some Bears fans are rooting for that.
All right, gentlemen, the offense still struggled no matter which quarterback was under center. The offense only scored 13 points yesterday, which is not enough in this NFL. Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, the offense will drastically improve under Justin Fields.
That's a shot, but it's going to take time. It's just a fact, man.
Oh, there's no timetable, right? Not this year, not this month. Like, it will drastically improve.
No, I mean this year. Before the end of the season.
Shot. He's that talented.
So we both know the definition of drastically. That means that we're going to see games like we saw with Kansas City and
if that's a term.
Well, we're asking for like 10 more points a game, right? So that's like 27, 28 points a game.
They scored 13. To ask him to score 23 points a game in this NFL is still low.
Yeah, right. So drastically means that we're going to see scores in the 30s all the time with the Bears. There's no shot of that. Not this year.
Don't disagree with you, but
I'll say no shot.
But if he adds 10 more points for the Bears, that's drastic improvement.
No. If the team is in the high 20s or in the 30s, that's drastic. I think that... Again, I'm not expecting the world from him in the first year. He's a rookie.
Woodrow.
Year two, year three, absolutely.
Hold on a second. They've been, what, 28th, 26th, 29th, 30th with Matt.
Right.
Those numbers, I'm pretty close.
Yeah.
And they've been averaging like 17 points a game. If you get it to 24, that is, for me, that's drastic improvement. Drastic. With a kid whose best days are ahead of him.
Will we ever see a Bears offense average 30 points a game under Matt Nagy?
No shot.
I don't know if we ever will see a Bears team, whether it's Matt Nagy or you. I'm not sure we'll ever average 30 points a game.
Drastic, I'll go with no shot, especially in year one for Justin Fields. Year two, year three, the hope is that it'll get better.
I'll tell you when you might see it. When they build that stadium in Arlington Heights and it's indoors and all of a sudden, oh, we don't have to play home games in 20 below weather.
Do you have inside intel on that, Cap?
Working on that.
All right, Danny, go ahead.
Week one was certainly an embarrassment for the Bears defense. 34 points were allowed, only one sack, zero takeaways, 3 75-yard touchdown drives allowed in a row. Yesterday was a different story for the defense, so I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the defense is once again its old self.
That's a no shot. Or ask me after Cleveland.
Yeah, I need to see more than just Cleveland. Ask me in like 6, 7, 8 weeks. You're not going to get that number of takeaways every week, but if I could see that kind of pressure, because now that you showed Quinn and Mack on the same side, mm-hmm. Cleveland's going to be prepared for that. So what is your move next, Sean Desai? And is the return of Eddie Goldman coming next week? Because if you can have a rotation inside of Eddie Goldman and Bilal Nichols and Akeem Hicks, and then you line up Khalil and Robert Quinn wherever that is, all of a sudden now, wow, you have a chance to push the pocket and get pressure.
Get to the quarterback and make him uncomfortable. Burrow got into a rut yesterday. He thought, okay, one interception, two interceptions. No, I'm good. Three interceptions in a row.
Right.
I mean, that comes from pressure from the Bears defense. I will say I don't think they're back yet. It was back Sunday against the Browns, a different story, and they might be back against the Lions. But it's got to be consistent. See, the way this offense works, Cap, is that because the offense is still trying to figure out who they are, the defense has to be consistent. At least maybe they could turn the ball over and get a touchdown, because we kind of revert back to the old Bears. Bears having to do their job and score. That might be the case here for this season as well. So there you go, Danny.
Chop that up.
Speaking of the defense, gentlemen, Roquan Smith, 8 tackles, a pick 6, and a sack against the Bengals yesterday. I ask you boys, shot or no shot, Roquan Smith is officially the Bears' best defender.
That's a no shot, but it's close. I still have to side with they game plan for Khalil Mack. They were tripling him at times, and it allowed Quinn and Hicks and all these guys. Akeem Hicks is a beast.
Yes, he is. He is putting together highlight reel action for his next team. or just for free agency,
you better,
right?
You better get him signed.
He's putting together a highlight reel because he knows the cameras catch him, right? Facials, him being able to go after the quarterback, soaring through the air. Yeah, I mean, he's doing a lot in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Doing a lot.
Yep. No question.
And so I will say no shot to that, even though I love Roquan Smith. As I always tell you, man, for a decade, he's just going to be a solid player for you. You don't have to worry about Roquan Smith. For a decade, he's going to be terrific for the Bears.
Terrific.
He's just going to be just a solid player that's going to be productive for the Bears. But I still will side with Mac. Now, here's interesting, a sidebar on this. So in the IDOT bullpen this morning.
By the way, you may approach. Brought to you by Howard Enkenlaw. Go ahead.
And so in the IDOT bullpen this morning, and IDOT likes to remind you that
driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com.
Sparky, off the furniture. You know better than that. Take that. Spark. Mom's not going to like that.
No.
I'm just telling you.
Up on the wall trying to climb up to read that.
Yeah, because you're like your dog. Get off the furniture, for God's sake.
Take that.
Anyway.
Yoshi.
Anyway. So the IDOT bullpen, Danny disagrees with you regarding Khalil Mack and his production, or lack thereof. Danny, you feel like he could do a lot more, even though we did see him with a sack yesterday.
I always compare Khalil Mack to Aaron Donald. And anytime you watch a Rams game, Aaron Donald is always in the mix. He's always a disruptor. I'm not going to argue with Cap and disagree that thanks to Khalil Mack being a beast, guys like Robert Smith get open. Guys like Akeem Hicks have one-on-one blocking against them. I get that. I just feel like for what we're paying Khalil Mack and who he's supposed to be, I feel like he hasn't been that guy in the last two seasons. I know he was injured last year, but yesterday he made waves. He helped his other guys make things happen. But where is he on the tackles? Where is he on the stat sheet? Where is he as a disruptor? I don't care if three guys are covering Aaron Donald. He still finds a way to make tackles, get to the quarterback, knock him down. I expect more out of Khalil Mack.
But when he takes on three guys, that is him doing his job. That's it. Period. And that allows Robert Quinn unfettered access to the quarterback. Alec Ogletree, unfettered access to the quarterback. Angelo Blackson to be able to make a pick, whatever the case may be.
Blackson's pick had nothing to do with Khalil Mack.
Really? Go back and watch it.
I did. What's Khalil Mack do? He's rushing the passer.
Correct.
I mean, it's 4 minutes. 4 minutes left in the first. The Bengals take over the ball. It's first down, second down. Khalil Mack's on the sideline. Why is he on the sideline on first down? Why is he on the sideline at second down? How much money are we paying him? He's out of shape. He's out of breath. I don't understand what he's doing. They're showing him standing on the sideline. Bengals first and 10. Explain that to me.
Yeah, he can't be a specialist at this point. He's got to be out there multiple downs. Unless there was an injury that we don't know about or something that they limited him in the game.
He played 43 of 55 snaps. He played more than Akeem Hicks. He played more than Ogletree. He played more than Quinn, Nichols, Blackson.
But he's supposed to be a top five defender. An edge rusher is as important as a quarterback, right? That's what they always say. For me, as a guy watching, and listen, I never played football. I get it. To see him on first down standing on the sideline made no sense to me.
Dude, he played 78% of the snaps. You got to let the guy get a breather. He's getting two and three guys on him.
And because of that, it opens up for everyone else. That's usually the plan, right?
Correct.
If he's going to be double teamed, others should be able to eat.
Correct.
So, Danny.
All right, gentlemen, last one quickly. Shot or no shot, you will watch the Peyton and Eli Manning Monday Night Football broadcast tonight instead of the standard broadcast.
Sox are playing today, aren't they? Little Sox Tiger. We'll see. That might be the main channel tonight.
Time is that bad boy start? 6:05, 6:10?
Yeah, they're in Detroit, so a little probably 6 o'clock start.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, so maybe they get the main channel.
Yeah, that'd be 5:30 here on ESPN 1000, yes. Home of the White Sox.
Yeah, so I think I might tune in for a few minutes. Are we going to talk about it tomorrow? Manning's, we're going to have a Manning breakdown tomorrow?
I'm sure we will. I'll watch some of it.
Every Tuesday, we're going to break that down.
I will watch some of it, but I like the traditional broadcast for the lion's share of my Monday night viewing.
No pun intended, because the Lions are playing the Packers. A weem away.
Yes.
The Lions will sleep tonight against the Packers. I know you got your money down on the Packer tonight.
I do not have any money on the game tonight. I'm not saying I won't later.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I have no money going.
I say put yourself together a parlay. Like me yesterday with the Sky and the Bears. Go ahead. All right.
Where's my text?
Huh?
Friday. I'll text you what to play in college. No text. I text Hoodie. No response till Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, you know why? Light action in college. Why should you bet $100 to win $101, $102?
Right.
I'm making sure I'm taking care of you in that spot.
Where was the Sky call?
Well, that was late. I didn't realize they were playing at 5.
Wow.
why would I text you? You're at TV. You're going to make that bet while you're on the set?
Yeah.
No, is that what you do?
They're our sponsor. PointsBet.
I'm a DraftKings guy.
Were you at the game yesterday? What was the atmosphere? How was the tailgate? 312-332-3776. Back to your calls next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Were you at the game yesterday? I was at TV. Hoodie was in the Hood Cave. Jeff was here. Danny was in his basement watching the Bears beat the Bengals to get to 1-1. We would love to know what the atmosphere was like, because the players even remarked how they fed off the energy of the crowd. First live crowd at a Bears game, non-preseason, since 2019.
It's pretty crazy. Awesome. That is awesome.
Awesome. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Southside. Hood country, we like to call that. Greg. Hey, Greg, what's up?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
What's cracking, Greg?
Hey, I was at the game yesterday, and I can tell you the energy was crazy. And the last opener I was at was 2 years ago when we played the Packers season opener. Energy similar to that. And then when Andy Dalton got hurt and Justin Fields came in, we weren't cheering for Andy Dalton getting hurt, but we were happy to see Justin Fields get in the game, and we kind of knew it was going to be his game for the long run. And then second half, when the defense made all those plays, man, the stadium was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greg,
yeah,
Greg, I'm glad. Here's what I'm glad. I'm glad you said this. So, just for a fleeting moment, I thought, I hear a roar at Soldier Field. What is that? Is it because Justin Fields is in the game? For a fleeting moment, like, they're not rooting for the injury. Because I don't think many people really knew why Dalton was off. I think that shows you the education of the Bear fan. They knew that there was a package of plays for Fields. They didn't expect him to play the entire second half.
Correct.
So the roar was for him more so than Dalton's injury.
Exactly, and if you recall, there was a moment where we knew Dalton was hurt, but he came back into the game,
mm-hmm.
right? Fields came in for a series, Dalton came into the game, but then Dalton went back out, and it went into the locker room, and that was the second war. That's when people knew, okay, it was going to be Fields' game once we saw Dalton go back into the locker room.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Greg. Have a great day.
Thank you, Greg.
I fully expect Justin Fields will start on Sunday in Cleveland. Fully expect it.
Do we know the extent of the injury? We have not heard from Nagy yet as far as how injured is Andy Dalton.
So Ian Rappaport just was on Good Morning Football. He's very wired. They're the NFL network. They get really good access. He said Andy Dalton's knee was sound. He's having an MRI this morning, but bone bruise is a possibility, which could knock you out for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a while.
He didn't get hit on that play. That's why I find it a bone bruise to be mysterious.
So, okay, so I didn't get hit when I tore mine, and nope. I had a serious bone bruise. That was the most painful part of it.
How did you get a bone bruise if you're not hit?
Because it's not a bruise from getting hit. It's the bone smashing together as you injure the knee. It is painful as all get out, let me just tell you. And then the fluid in your knee is the mechanism that the body uses to protect itself. If you get a tear, there's blood in there. That's a bigger problem. That's what I had. Hopefully he doesn't have that. But a bone bruise, that's no joke, man. That is not fun.
All right, back to the phone lines.
Let's go to Shoddy on I-55. Hey, Shoddy.
What's up, boys? Good morning. That game yesterday, it was probably one of the best Bears games I've ever been to. And, I mean, for the simple fact, for so many storylines going into the game, I feel like we got some answers for a week. I mean, it was going to blow up the atmosphere for good or for worse. And, you know, when Dalton got hurt the first time and there was mutterings, everyone's on Twitter, here, Fields is coming into the game, the buzz got going. And then that period, for that four takeaway period, that was insane. That was insane. I mean, everyone was rocking, and it was probably one of the loudest times I've been at Soldier. It was a great atmosphere. It was a great game, and I can't wait to see Fields the rest of the year.
Shoddy, thanks, man. Glad you had a good time out there. It's only week two, but the future is here. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And whether this team ends up 7-10, 6-11, they're not winning the Super Bowl. And if you're not first, you're last.
Sure.
Make sure you develop the kid. That's it.
But the question is, for some Bears fans, is this the right coaching staff to be able to develop this young guy? It's a valid question because of the past of Nagy.
But that determination will be made at the conclusion of this season. If at the end of the season you go, boy, I don't like what I saw from Justin, then a change is coming because they've cast their lot with him. 100%.
Yeah.
If at the end of the season you're like over the next 5 weeks, the quarterbacks that they have to play, have you seen the schedule? Is Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady with a lion mixed in, Jared Goff.
Sure.
That ain't easy.
It's a daunting schedule.
Daunting.
We knew that coming in.
But if I said to you, Jonathan, at the end of the year, they went, whatever the record is, not in the playoffs, that kid can play, then I'm okay with whatever it is going forward. But if you tell me at the end of the season, God, I didn't see a lot of progress out of the quarterback, then you got to make a change immediately.
Sure.
Immediately.
We question, by the way, the depth chart at times with the Bears, right? Whereas we like Robinson, we like Mooney, but then I think there's a third spot that needs to be filled, the wide receiver spot. See that catch in the first quarter by Goodwin?
Mm-hmm.
He was out of bounds, a 32-yard play. It was a penalty on that play. Eli Apple pushed Goodwin out. It just the hops of Goodwin, not only his speed, but the ability to be able to jump up.
Correct.
Now, there is a threat that you can get down the field with, right?
Correct.
There is a guy there that can be able to help you stretch the field. Maybe give Goodwin a few more shots down the field.
I would like to see it.
I was amazed about how he was able to catch that ball, even though I don't think that play counted on 2nd and 5.
Now, let's not forget, David Montgomery had a 30-yard run.
Yes.
That was called back for
Correct.
A hold.
Correct.
Darnell Mooney dropped a deep pass. Allen Robinson dropped a touchdown. And the offensive pass interference they called on Cole Kmet when he made a catch for a first down, that was a horrible call. Horrible call.
Yeah.
So there's things that got to get cleaned up if you're going to go into Cleveland and beat them. Let's go to Avery in Arlington Heights. Hey, Avery, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, not too much, boys. I, you know, watching the game, I was very excited. I do have a couple questions for you about our defense. That did not look like the same defense we saw week one, which is great improvement. I do think that there's a lot that needs to be improved still, but do you think that this is a defense we want from the Chicago Bears moving forward, what we saw yesterday?
Well, appreciate the call, Avery. Yeah. I think there's the nickel corner. Duke Shelley was not great yesterday, and he was on the field like 80-some percent of the time. Christian last week, not good.
They picked on Shelley so often. They knew that was a weakness in the defense. He's not good. He's just not good.
Correct. Yeah. They have got to get that position shored up because you're a nickel like 60-some percent of the time.
Yeah. Sanchez was putting it on the telestrator just showing, like, Duke Shelley, you got to be there. You got an open spot there. When Burrow was able to throw, it's on the backside of the linebackers in front of the secondary, and, like, there was some confusion on who's supposed to cover whom in that spot, right? Several times in the game. And they kept picking on Shelley's side, like, that's just not good.
It's got to get cleaned up.
That wasn't
good. It's got to get cleaned up. But when you get that kind of pressure, it is awfully, awfully key to being able to get those takeaways. 312-332-3776. What grade would you give Justin Fields in his first meaningful game action? 312-332-3776. More of your calls next.
Take that.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Chopping it up with my guy, Jonathan Hood, every weekday, 7 until 10. Danny's at the controls with Jeff. JR, enjoy your day off. We'll see you tomorrow. So what grade would you give Justin Fields in his first meaningful game action? And I fully believe he will be the starter on Sunday in Cleveland.
Yep. The answer to the question for me is C. And he's a rookie. It's his first time out there. With more seasoning, he will get better. Again, this is not some magical formula because, again, it's Matt Nagy as a head coach. It's the offensive system. And here's the thing that people like about Justin Fields. At least that's how I feel. I feel like people like Justin Fields because he is the system buster, right? Lamar Jackson is a system buster, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what plays they have for him to stay in the pocket, he's like, you know what? If it's not there, I'm gone. I got to go. I got to get yards here. I believe that Justin Fields could be that same system buster. He doesn't have to run all the time, but I think that him chained to the pocket, that won't get it done either. Remember what I told you before the season? I want Matt Nagy to be more flexible. Mm-hmm. Foles had a disconnect with him. Trubisky had a disconnect with him. I want him to be able to be more flexible and say, let's put in place things that he can do rather than things he can't do.
Well said. Let's go to the phones. Nick is up in Lake Forest in the shadow of the goalpost. Hey, Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How you doing?
Not too bad. I just want to talk a little bit about the grading of the quarterback here. First of all, I'll say I'll give Justin a C+ for yesterday. I thought he made some really good, tough throws, some throws that some of our other guys could not have made. But that brings me up to my number one point here, and this is something I've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 years, is we do not have the playmakers on offense that we need in order for a quarterback to succeed. You can talk about play calling all you want, but when I look at A-Rob, he's good. He's good. Darnell Mooney, he's good. We don't have anybody that is great. We don't have any big playmakers, anyone that can bust a game wide open. Anyone that's going to make a catch on a big jump ball time after time, we don't have any guys like that. So it's really difficult to grade a quarterback. It's really difficult for a quarterback to succeed. You know, over the years, we've only put our money into our defensive side of the ball, getting big playmakers on defense. We do not have that on offense. That's what we're lacking, and that it's going to be really hard for a quarterback to succeed like that.
Appreciate the call, Nick. He makes valid points. I will tell you, Allen Robinson is ranked by most a top 8 receiver.
10.
I had him a 12, I think.
Yes, you did. I said he was 10.
But either way, that's still an elite football player.
Yes. But you got to understand his frustration, because if he is that game break, well, just like our last caller said, someone that can be able to make splash plays and make big plays down the field. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be Allen Robinson, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Well, think about the quarterbacks he's worked with. He can't make those plays. Remember, it's a two-way street on these big plays, right? The quarterback's got to get him the ball and take shots down the field. What did we scream about last week? Take shots down the field? Bears are doing that.
Correct. Here's one question I have for you. We're obviously lacking at nickel.
Yeah.
Duke Shelley played 87% of the snaps yesterday, 48 of 55. Not great. Marquise Christian last week, not great.
No.
So why then is Jimmy Graham on the roster? Jimmy Graham only on the field for 22 snaps this week, 18 last week. He played 34%, and he barely gets targeted. And you're in the red zone, and he doesn't get targeted. I don't understand why you're spending the whatever amount of money it is, $8 or $9 million, if you're not going to use the guy.
You have a solid tight end, a quality tight end in Jimmy Graham, and you have an emerging tight end that doesn't get targets like Komet. We got to utilize those guys.
Agreed.
At some point, right? I'm not saying that we have Travis Kelce on the roster, but mm-hmm. what I'm saying is that you got to utilize those guys.
Agreed.
So and with Justin Fields, by the way, Cap, think about it from this standpoint. If Fields is going to be running with the football, does that mean that Jimmy Graham will get probably fewer targets?
Yeah, because he's not a great blocker. He's just not.
Then,
like, he had a block yesterday that he completely whiffed on in the red zone.
Okay, then it feels like a hat on the hat if you're not going to get him touches in the red zone.
Jeff, did you see from a fantasy perspective, Jimmy Graham, is this guy still a threat? People still looking him at him as a threat?
If people are, they're misinformed. It's living off the reputation, right? He hasn't been that dynamic playmaker like since two injuries ago, back when he suffered that patellar tendon knee injury in Seattle. He's lost the explosiveness. Now, again, he can still get open with his body when you throw the ball in the right spot and allow him to just use that catch radius, but he cannot get off of the coverage. And so that's why I think he struggles in between the 20s, because you can't just kind of like toss it up to him for these short gains in the red zone that you're looking for. I don't think it was a wise move to keep him over someone like Charles Leno when you could have really used that depth at tackle.
And I know that if you get rid of Jimmy Graham in this offseason, that, you know, Ryan Pace would be smashed. You know, people will go after him. But, I mean, hey, you tried it for 1 year. Didn't work. You're trying to develop Kmet. That's the guy.
And it actually did work. What, did he have 8 touchdowns last year?
10. He had 10
touchdowns.
But so if you want to go in a different direction, I wouldn't mind it.
I do wonder, Hoodie, how much they were keeping him around because they were in on the Russell Wilson talks. I do wonder if that's the main reason why they kept him around.
As kind of someone that you could trade, like trade bait, right?
No, like the conversation was they're really good friends. And so when they were in on the idea of trading for Russell Wilson before they had Justin Fields, I think it's possible they kept him on the roster because they're like, you know what, if we land Russell or if Russell wants to come here, it's good to have Jimmy Graham on the roster.
That makes sense.
But after you lost out on Russell and he didn't get moved?
What's the point?
Can't you release him then?
It's about Kmet. It's about him and his development.
Correct.
He's got to get more targets, man.
He has to. So we'll see how it all works out. Again, we're 2 games in. Thank goodness we're 1-1. 312-332-3776. Space is in Plainfield. Hey, Space, what's up?
What up, Cap Hoodie? What's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
Space. Okay, Space. There he is. Okay. I got an idea. Go ahead.
Man, guys, I'm turned up on this Monday, man. First off, you asked me what I give Justin Fields. I give him about a C+, you know. A lot of room for improvement, but he's a rookie and first time out there. So I think he did very good for first time out there. You know, if you look at his mental ability, you know, he caught that guy blitzing. He saw it. You know what I'm saying? He caught it and shift the protection over. So he's got the intangibles that you want for a quarterback. And then if you think about this, Allen Robinson did miss the touchdown. He also missed a jump ball. Justin Fields threw a perfect jump ball right there in the end zone that your number one receiver normally gets. If you got an A.J. Brown, if you got a D.K. Metcalf, somebody big that can go up there and get it, he threw a perfect pass. Now, it's on Allen Robinson. You're doing all this sweeting where your agent is. It's on you to use your body as the number one, box him out, and then go up and get the ball. So Fields did admirably. You know what I'm saying? He threw some great passes. You know, he made the fumble, but then also he had the mindset to next time cover it up. So, you know, we got a lot to work on there, way better than the other guy. I mean, I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry that he got hurt, and this is how he loses his spot. But it is Fields' time right now. And then just give the defense some love. They played good. Robert Quinn, Jalen Johnson looks like a premier number one out there. I mean, everybody, you know, Roquan was great.
Hey, man, don't be calling Dalton the other guy. Yeah. Give him his name.
Give him his name. Andy Dalton. Space, we got to roll. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Again, we'll wait to hear what the MRI shows on Andy Dalton, but I fully expect Justin Fields at quarterback on Sunday. And if that's the case, let me just be clear. I'm on the record. There's no reason to go back unless Justin, God forbid, gets hurt.
He will lose his job because of injury.
That's it. That's
Vegas!
It.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
When Vegas. Yes. Danny, it is time for Caller 10 regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. You know why? Because Waddle and Sylvie and White Claw are going to be in Vegas for a football weekend. Listen today. not only our show at the 45s, but also Carmen and Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie. At 4:35, they will read a name from all qualifiers. You'll have 10 minutes to call back with a trip for two to Vegas between October 8th through the 10th at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Waddle and Sylvie will broadcast live on Sunday. You'll be able to go to the game.
How about that?
Raiders, Bears. How about that?
That'd be cool, man. I wish I'd be on that trip. That'd be a lot of fun.
As sponsored by iDot, lifeordeathillinois.com. Listen all day today from Chicago's home for sports right here on a Bears Victory Monday, ESPN 1000.
By the way, on a gorgeous Saturday, Danny, when was the football game that Avery ran 95 yards? I think it was Saturday.
Saturday morning, 9 a.m., boys.
How about that? You need David Montgomery to have a quality backup. Avery Zetterman, 95 yards on play one of the game for a touchdown. Anyway, it was a gorgeous day. The footing's beautiful. The weather's great. I'm out driving, going to pick my son up. I pull in to get gas. And I hear, "Hey!" And I look up. Who's pumping at the other pump? Sylvie. So we took a photo together. We had our shady rays. Yes. My guy, Sylvie, out and about. He was doing his appearances to pump the Vegas trip. So it was very nice to run into my friend Mark Silverman.
I'm glad you guys were able to pump together.
Yes, we did. What grade would you give Justin Fields? His first meaningful game action. What are you expecting if he does make the start on Sunday in Cleveland? 312-332-3776. More of your calls are next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Qualifier for the Vegas trip. Be listening at 4:35. Waddle and Sylvie will be pulling one of those qualifiers to go to Las Vegas, Nevada, to stay at the Circa and to watch their live broadcast and have a blast in Las Vegas, and then go to the game on Sunday. Bears and the 2-0 Raiders right now. They're looking good. Went into Pittsburgh and beat up on the Steelers in Heinz Field.
NFL, so much fun, man. You just never know what you're going to get from week to week. And so watching week two, man, there was so much that was going on. And it ends with Detroit and Green Bay tonight. You heard Danny's bet. He's just going to go all in, pushing all his chips in the middle of the table, feeling like Green Bay will be able to dominate a whim away.
The last time I checked the line, it was 11.5. Danny, I believe, on his promo for his sportsbook he endorses, was 14 or more and the over, correct, Danny?
That's the same game parlay I'm betting tonight on FanDuel. I'm betting Aaron Rodgers to throw for over 280 yards. That's a gimme. Packers to win by 14 or more points, and the current spread is 11.5. And then I'm taking the over, which is at 48.5.
Yeah, I got it at 12 and the over under 49. It'll move up, but that's why I have it at this point on DK.
There you go.
You know what Aaron Rodgers does when he has a chip on his shoulder.
I know what he does. He does a commercial pretending like he's a guitarist. You saw that all day Sunday, right?
Yeah. Runs 180 times. And this is written this to my former best friend, who's a Chicago guy, by the way.
It's crazy.
Yes.
I love that.
The qualifier to the trip again, Tom Koska of Aurora. Let's go to Marco on the north side. Marco, what's up, Sparky?
Good morning, sir. Sizzle Chest.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. I just have a couple of things. I give Justin Fields a C+. The offensive line that we've pieced together did a decent job. They've got so much pressure on Andy Dalton. I didn't like the fact that Nagy took Dalton out on that drive. They were going down the field to bring Justin Fields in. He did okay on that one drive, but I think they lost momentum. Number three, Eddie Jackson needs to get released because he's trash.
Oh, stop. Release.
No,
come
listen,
on.
Listen, little, before you jump on me, listen to what I got to say.
That's terrible.
There were two times he whiffed on a tackle. I'm expecting somebody like, we haven't had a good, strong safety since Mike Brown.
Hold on a second. Who was the guy that punched the ball out that led to the first takeaway? That'd be Eddie Jackson. Who's the guy that blew up a play out on the edge in a one-on-one situation? That'd be Eddie Jackson. Was he perfect? No. To release him? Come on, Marco, you're better than that.
You whiff on two tackles when you should have blown up the receiver and possibly caused a fumble on the one, and then you let him go in on for the touchdown when you could have blown him up there too.
Marco.
That's all I'm saying.
Marco, you're not releasing Eddie Jackson. You're better than that. Come on now. Take emotion out of it. Did he make mistakes? Yeah. Nobody's perfect. He played a pretty damn good football game yesterday.
I understand where you're coming from, Marco, where you're not happy with Eddie Jackson's play. You want better than 50-50, right? You don't want him to be able to miss tackles or allow touchdowns to happen, but also you got to take the good with that as well,
correct,
as we just documented. So, yes, can he improve? There's no question about that. Eddie Jackson is not as bad as we saw in week one. He's not as good as we saw in week two. He just has to improve and get better. That's all. We've seen, like, the tape of him trying to inspire others. He needs to look in the mirror and inspire himself because he has to be a leader out there in the secondary.
312-332-3776. Eddie's on the north side. Hey, Eddie, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how you doing? As for Justin Fields, that was horrible. I mean, if he does that the rest of the year, we will be in for a long year. He himself almost lost that game for the Chicago Bears of how he played at the end there with the interception. Mm-hmm. And then they were, what, first and goal? They couldn't even get in there for the touchdown. I thought to myself that, and I didn't want to say this because I don't even like Andy Dalton, the Bears would have scored a lot more points if Andy Dalton was the quarterback in that game.
Well,
and the one other point is
yeah,
man, if Brady keeps up what he's doing, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 1 was a Hail Mary, he's got to be the top line for MVP of the NFL this year.
No doubt. No doubt. He's been amazing.
We appreciate it, my friend. The point is, though, is that because it's Justin Fields as a rookie, you expect him to be better. No, he was not great. But the offense was not great. It was not dynamic. They didn't score enough points collectively. But if Justin Fields is going to be the guy moving forward, there's no question that he's got to improve and the offense has to improve. And the head coach has to be flexible to know what his skill sets are. I can't hammer that point home enough. If you have the same game plan for Andy Dalton as you have for Justin Fields, you're not going anywhere.
All right. Has Andy Dalton taken his final snap as Bears quarterback? Because with a knee injury, and again, we do not know the severity. He'll have an MRI today. That means Justin Fields would get the start on Sunday. Is it his job going forward, as I believe? What do you think? 312-332-3776. Back in 2 minutes. Make sure you watch us on Twitch. We're live there. Join the chat. ESPN 1000 Chicago, twitch.tv. Sponsored by Pinehurst Resort.